As we open a new semester here at Hannibal LaGrange, I want you and all of us to consider the idea of readiness, of how we can be ready for anything. As we consider this idea of being ready for anything, I want you to think of a time where perhaps you weren't ready, you weren't prepared. And as seems most appropriate, I will open by sharing a story from my own life when it became painfully apparent to everyone that I was not ready. As a 12-year-old boy, I would often go and visit my grandparents. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. My grandparents were in Memphis, Tennessee. And as became necessary, I had to fly to go see them, and I had to fly alone as an unaccompanied minor. Memphis, Tennessee, like Hannibal, is a river town. And the Mississippi River is a good bit bigger there in Memphis than it is here in Hannibal. And as it is prone to do, great clouds of fog will often roll up off the Mississippi and blanket that city in a cloud of impenetrable, soupy fog. One evening when I was set to fly home from Memphis to Atlanta was one such foggy evening. It was about 9 o'clock in the evening, and we were approaching the airport there in Memphis, Tennessee, and you could not even see the airport as you drove up towards it because it was so foggy. That airport there in Memphis, Tennessee, it's about a 70-foot-tall structure, and it has large globes for lights. They're about 15 to 20 foot across round balls, or at least it did at the time of lights. And I remember as we drove up in my grandparents' car to that airport getting an uneasy feeling in the pit of my stomach. Something didn't seem quite right. All I could see were those lights. It kind of looked like a UFO or a flying saucer. But I tried to push that out of my mind, and my grandparents walked me out to the plane, and I got on it, and as an unaccompanied minor, I was the very first person on the plane. And as I'm sitting there on that airplane, on Northwest Airlines, airline doesn't even exist anymore, on Northwest Airlines, I hear a thunk. Now, I don't know a lot about aeronautical engineering. I am not an expert in such. But I do know that airplanes don't go thunk. And so as I sat there by myself, my mind began to spin. Why did the airplane go thunk? Other passengers are now boarding the plane. A businesswoman sits down next to me there, and I turn and I look at her, and she begins to talk with me. And I said to her after a minute or two visiting, "Did you hear that thunk?" She said, "I didn't hear anything." Well, just a few minutes ago, before you got on the plane, there was a thunk. And I don't know much about planes, but I know they don't go thunk. And she said to me, "Oh, don't worry about it. I fly this flight all the time. The thunk was probably just a piece of luggage." For a moment, I was appeased by that answer. The door to the airplane is shut. Everybody is now on it. I turn and look at her again, and I said, "I don't think that was a piece of luggage. I think that was a problem with the engine." She said, "Oh, no, no, everything's okay. You don't need to worry. No, no, something's really wrong." "Well, I know what I'll do. We'll call over the flight attendant." So she reaches up, pushes that little button there. She calls over the flight attendant. The flight attendant comes by. She asks me, "What seems to be the problem?" And I look at her and I say, "There is something wrong with this airplane. There is something not right. I'm not ready to go on this flight. You need to get me off this plane. She looks at me. She says, everything's just fine. Just calm down. I will not calm down. I need to get off this plane. She says, I know what we'll do. We'll go see the pilot. She made a mistake there. So she took me up to the front of the plane to see the pilot. We're at this point like third in line to take off. And the pilot turns around and he looks at me and he says, what seems to be the problem? And I said, this plane is in trouble. There are problems with this plane. We need to go back to the gate and we need the mechanics to look it over. He said to me, young man, there are no problems with this plane. This plane is just fine. We're going to Atlanta. Sit down and be quiet. And I said, I will not sit down and I will not be quiet. You will turn this plane around. And I staged quite the scene as a 12-year-old boy. And I looked at that pilot and I said, if you don't turn this plane around, I'm going to let everybody on this plane know that this bird will never make it. We are at this point on the runway, ready to take off. He begins to push the throttle up. No! Let me off this plane! And much to my surprise, to still this very day, he throttles that throttle back down, picks up the controller, says, Tower, we've had an incident with a young passenger. We're going to be returning to the terminal for him to deplane. And we turn to the terminal. They extended the jet bridge back out before it's even fully out. They kind of give me a push off the plane. They back away. They take off and they go to Atlanta. Now, these are the days before people really had cell phones. And my father was there at the airport waiting on me to arrive. And as everybody deplanes from that plane, and my father is there waiting, that pilot comes off last. And he meets my dad there. And he says, are you Robert Matz's father? And he says, yes, yes, I am. He said, well, and my dad says, where's my son? Oh, he went back. Would you let him know we made it? Friends, students, colleagues, are you ready? Are you ready for that uncertain moment? For that exam that is coming up? Are you ready for that moment where it seems like your emotions might run away from you, as they did for me? Are you ready for the semester ahead? Seniors, are you ready to graduate and get a job or go on to graduate school? Are you ready? Friends, I want you, everyone here on this stage wants you to be ready for anything. And to be ready for anything, you have to know the one who's made everything. You have to be rooted in the one who has said who you are and what you're about. You have to be rooted in his word. To be ready for anything, you need to be rooted in the Bible. We want you here at Hannibal LaGrange to be ready. And true readiness requires the true word of the Bible. Our text this morning, which we will look at very briefly, comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you verses 14 through 17. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing to his young student in the faith and in ministry. And he talks about all the hard things that can happen in life and all the ways people can become deceived and self-deceived. And we pick up his words in verse 14. And I'll read these to you now. Here's what he says. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that any person following God may be complete, equipped, ready for every good work. You see, the Bible will make you ready. And I want us to see four aspects of why that is true. First, I want us to see why it is that the Bible can make you ready. Notice what Paul says here in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. When you pick up a Bible, when you look at a Bible on your phone, you're just not looking at some other book. This isn't just like one of your textbooks in your class, as valuable as those are. You are picking up God's speech to you. This is where God talks to us. I hear from people all the time who say, I want to hear a word from God. Do you know where you'll always hear from God? Where he speaks. Over 3,000 times in the Bible, it says something like this: the word of the Lord came to me. Or God says, if you want to hear from God, read the Bible. Jesus said about the Bible that not even the smallest stroke of a letter will pass away until all things within it are accomplished. Do you want to hear from God? Read the Bible. You see, the Bible is trustworthy. It is timeless. It is relevant. It has, I'm going to try this, please forgive me, it has main character energy. Is that not the contemporary slang? I'm trying to get, some of y'all are looking at me like, oh my, what did he just do? It has main character energy. It is the one about which the whole, it is the book by which the whole story should be oriented. This is why your faculty here at Hannibal Grange does not just teach your subject, but starts classes with readings from Scripture and with prayer. It's why we emphasize a biblical worldview so strongly. This book makes sense of life's biggest questions. Let me challenge you. There's Gideons out in the lobby. If you don't have a Bible, I hope you pick up one from them. You can go by the Student Life office and get a Bible from them. Get a Bible and read it. Read the Bible. You see, true readiness requires a true word. And a true word comes from the Bible. The second reason I want us to see, or the second aspect of why true readiness requires a true word that we see here in Scripture is how the Bible gets us ready. Notice what Paul says next here in verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching and for rebuking, for correcting and for training in righteousness. What Paul is saying to Timothy is this: if you want to be the person God has made you to be, you've got to let the Bible teach you. You've got to let it change you. The theological word for this is you've got to let it sanctify you, make you more and more like Jesus Christ, like the person God has made you to be. There's four aspects to this that can be grouped into two parts. There's teaching and there is rebuking. Teaching, that's what to believe. Rebuking, that's what not to believe. You see, the Bible shows us what the God who made us is like. It shows us that He is so much better than we could ever hope or think to imagine. It shows us that while we aren't perfect, that God is perfect. It shows us that while we don't often get love right, we can look to God who is Trinity and has from before time existed in absolute perfection and perfect relationship within Himself, so that we can see what true love is. It helps us to know right from wrong. It helps us to know that what is evil, because we see a God who is holy and who is just. It helps us to know that when we want to be justified, when we want to make something right in the situations of our lives that are wrong, that we can look to a God who shows us what forgiveness and compassion and mercy are. You see, the Bible teaches us who God is and what He's like. It also, according to the verse here, corrects us and it trains us in righteousness. Correcting, that's what you're not supposed to do. Training in righteousness, that's what we are supposed to do. There's an old acronym about the Bible, and it's inadequate. It's not a perfect acronym, but it is true. Do you know what Bible stands for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, the Bible's much more than that. It's the story of all stories, but it's also that. If you want to know how to live your life, if you want to know what to do and what not to do, read the Bible. And don't only read it, let it read you. Let it change you. Let it transform you. Seek to be the person that as you read it, that it guides you to be. On my finger here, I wear a ring. It's a wedding ring. It indicates that I am married and married to Jessica, who I believe is sitting right over there, my wife there as well. And of course, some of you have my wonderful wife for classes here on campus. Hopefully, some of you in the room, I know some of you are in the room, are also married. If you're married, could you do me a favor? Could you stand up for a second? I'd like all the married people in the room to stand up. All right. Now, I got another question for you. If you know someone who's married, would you stand up? Hopefully, everyone in the room is standing up now. But if not, if you are familiar with the idea of marriage, stand up. Everyone in the room should be standing up at this moment. Now, let me ask you a question about marriage. If I were to look at my wife, and I were to say to my wife, sweetheart, I'm willing for you to talk to me, but you can only talk to me for 30 minutes a week on Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock. How good a marriage do you think my wife and I would have? That'd be a pretty awful marriage. Some of you are going to go through this semester, go through this academic year, where the only time God gets the ability to speak into your life is on Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock. Let me challenge you. If you want to be ready for anything, if you want to be the person God's made you to be, read the Bible. Don't just show up to chapel. Get in this book. Study it. Let it study you. Seek to understand it. Seek to apply it to your life. Seek to become the person God has made you to be through seeking to understand this book. You can sit back down. Third aspect I'd like you to see of how the Bible makes you ready is its result in your life. Notice what verse 17 says here. So that the man of God, really any person wanting to follow God, but Paul's applying it specifically to Timothy as a pastor and those who would train pastors. So that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. You're going to encounter a lot of circumstances while you're here in college. You're going to have situations in your dorm where you're around people that aren't like you, and you're going to wonder, how on earth do I deal with this person? You're going to go, and maybe you're going to work a job here in the area or on the campus, and you're going to feel at times in over your head. You're going to take classes and they're going to speak a language that you've never even understood, even though it sounds like English. They've got all these acronyms and all these things in there that don't make any sense. Now, the Bible's not going to give you the direct answer to the questions on your psychology test. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but it is going to give you the tools you need to be successful, to be the person God wants you to be in each of those classes. You see, the Bible is a tool in your life. Yep, I came with props today. It is a tool so that when you come to that psychology test and you don't know what to do, just as this hammer is a tool for driving in a nail, the Bible gives you the tools you need, where you read in Colossians 3:23 that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not a human master. You see, the Bible teaches you to work hard in your classes, to study hard. Not to impress your professors, though that's not a bad thing. They're pretty impressive people, as you can tell from all the different regalia they are wearing up here, indicating their various academic accomplishments. But you work hard because there's a God in heaven who made you, and he made you for a purpose and for a reason. And that is to demonstrate your love for him through working with all your heart. I have here as well, yes, I brought multiple tools. These are wire strippers. That's what these are. Sometimes things are going to happen in your life that strip things away. It's going to feel like at times you are being punished. And aspects of you are just being, let's see here, just peeled back. Now there's my bad sound effect of a wire stripper. And then you're going to remember that the Bible teaches this. God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline will be pleasant at the time it comes. But this, friends, is how God makes you into the person he wants you to be. You're going to encounter things like, yep, I brought a drill. That are drilling into you. Maybe there's conflict in your dorm. A situation that you just can't seem to get resolution in. And perhaps you're in a position to be a peacemaker. And you remember that the Bible teaches, blessed are the peacemakers. You see, the Bible functions, one of the ways it functions in our life is like those tools rendering us, putting us in a position where we are completely equipped for every good work that we've been made for. Fourth and finally, here in the text, we see that the Bible, first we saw why we should listen to the Bible, because it's how God speaks to us. Second, we saw here in the text the result of the Bible in our life. It makes us more like Jesus. The third thing we saw here in the text is the goal of the Bible, that it completes us. It makes us ready for whatever God's going to put in front of you. And fourth, we see here in the text what the Bible's all about. Call what I read here at the front end of the verse, of the passage. But as for you, he writes to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, yes, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, but it's much more than that. It's a story. It's a story about who we were. Theologians call this idea the Bible's meta-narrative, that it has a big story, that God created everything, and he created you. And he created you for a purpose and for a reason. And he loves you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. But our original parents, Adam and Eve, they looked at this God who they knew, who walked in the garden with them. And they said, no, we're not going to walk with you. There was a creation. There was a fall. Then we read the story of the Bible, of the Exodus and of the plagues, and God giving a law to his people, a standard, a way to be found righteous. And again and again and again, those people do what we do. They say to God, not today. We know you have a standard. We know you have a way. We know you have a means by which the world can work well. But we're not going to do it. They reject it. And every sin deserves its consequence and deserves judgment, and the wages of sin are death. And the Bible could have left us there. But from before time began, God had a plan. And the Bible teaches us that that plan is known in a person. God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on a cross. God looked at you. He looked at me. He saw us when we were out of our minds, running up and down a plane aisle, saying, this bird will never make it. He sees us when no one else sees us. He knows the thoughts of our mind, the meditations of our heart. He knows us. He knows all your junk. And he said, I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sin so that you can be made right. And then he proved that was true when Jesus rose from the dead. And there's coming a day where Jesus will return. And he is offering each and every one of us the ability to be made right, to be saved by him. You see, the Bible will make you ready for anything. It will make you ready for any situation. It is how God speaks to you. It is how God teaches you who He is and what He is like. It is how God gets you ready for every single situation so that you are ready to do what is good no matter what may happen. And for that to happen, you have to have trusted in the message of the Bible. And the message of the Bible is you're a sinner, but there is a great Savior who came and died for your sins and rose from the dead. And if you will turn from your sins and turn to Him and place Him in charge of your life, you can be saved. If that's something you want to do, I want to encourage you, connect with our student life staff, Dr. Newton, Mr. Dixon, Mr. Mario as well, after chapel today, and they will help you take those next steps. Talk with one of our local pastors. I see Pastor Leewood here in chapel this morning. Talk with one of our Christian studies faculty, Dr. Garner, Dr. Robarts, Dr. Turner, because we want to help you know what it means to live a life of purpose, to be ready for whatever God may have in front of you. So there I was stranded in Memphis, Tennessee. Sitting there in an empty airport terminal with a rather disgruntled flight attendant who had really wanted to go home because it was gate agent, because this was the last flight out. So it's just me and her sitting there waiting for my grandparents to arrive. They come, they get me. The next day, I'm out. I've been banned from Northwest Airlines. I'm really glad they got bought out. I'm banned from Northwest Airlines, so I had to fly home on ValueJet. I don't know if any of you remember ValueJet. That's not a good airline, but it's the only one I could get a ticket on. And so I have to fly home on ValueJet. And I get there on the plane, unaccompanied minor, first person on the plane, and that feeling strikes me again. Something's wrong. But it hits me before the plane has the door shut. So you know what I do? I get up out of my seat and I go right back out the plane and out the jet bridge. And there's my grandfather. And he's standing there and he looks at me and he says, "Boy, get on that plane." But I called him Big D. "But Big D, there's nothing wrong with the plane. Get back on the plane." "Yes, sir." I wasn't ready, but someone outside of me stepped in and said, "Get ready." The Bible is that place, that book that will step into your life and get you ready. Will you let it this semester? I pray this is your prayer and the defining truth of the semester that is in front of you. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for Hannibal LaGrange. I thank you for the opportunity to share this word with everyone here this morning. I pray that in everything we do, we would make much of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in His name. Amen.